Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, during Lent this year, I'd like to look with you at a particular passage in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks about walking by the Spirit. So let me start out by asking, do you walk by the Spirit or according to the flesh? What's it mean to walk by the Spirit? And does that mean that we're not going to have any struggles in life? Does that mean that everything is peachy keen and easy? Or does that mean we're conquering? Does that mean we're free? That we have no struggles? What does it mean to be walking by the Spirit? So let's take a look at that passage and see what God would teach us about it. We're going to look at each specific part of it later on throughout Lent. But let's look at it today about specifically walking by the Spirit. This is God's will for our lives. So let's open up and read about it to start out. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. But I say, says Paul, walk by the Spirit, and don't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, says Paul, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is, who knows it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, says Paul. So let's talk about, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Well, the first thing it means is you got to have something new inside you called the Spirit, right? I mean, let's put up two different people here. This is going to be Mr. Believer, Christian on this side. Over here, this is going to be the unregenerate, the not born again, the non-Christian, the unbeliever. And the first thing we need to know is that inside the believer, there's going to be a new spirit inside of us, right? We got to live. We're going to live by the Spirit. We also got to walk by the Spirit. But we've got to have the Spirit in the first place. So how do you get the Spirit of God? Well, Acts 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, says Peter. If you look back there at the Old Testament, look at Ezekiel 36. God says, I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. You'll be clean from all your uncleannesses. A new heart I'll give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you, taking out of your flesh the heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and observe all my ordinances, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. So what's God give us with a new spirit? He puts a new heart inside of us and takes out of us something called a heart of stone. So what's inside of an unbeliever so far, according to what we've read? A stone, a hard heart, something called callous in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Hard hearts, a stone. And he says, you know, we have a spirit. Now, what does that mean? What's that look like if we're actually walking by the Spirit? You know, let's take a look at some of the different parts of the body. First of all, let's start with the eyes. Can an unbeliever see Jesus Christ? Do you see him right now by faith? By faith, you are actually seeing him. So let's put some open eyes over on this side, because Jesus says in John 6, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So your eyes inside your spirit are already open. You see him by faith. But are their eyes open over here? Jesus said once to the disciples, they have eyes but don't see, they have ears but don't hear. Let's talk about the ears then next. How about this? Remember, a lot of times Jesus ends one of his parables saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It means there's two different types of ears. And John 8, he says, he who is he who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you don't hear him is you're not of God. So do you guys hear the words of the scriptures when they're preached and believe them? Guess what? Your ears are open. They're alive. How about the ears over here? If you preach the gospel to somebody who's not a Christian, hopefully they'll come to faith, but guess what? Their ears are dull. They're dead. They can't hear it. They might hear it audibly, but they don't hear it in their heart and believe it. How about a nose? Do you think as a Christian you have a new nose? Well, what do we read there in Corinthians? We are the aroma of... That's a funny looking nose. We are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are perishing and those who are being saved. Now, if I'm preaching Jesus Christ, what's that smell like to a believer? Oh, it's a sweet fragrance of a rose. It's the smell of life over here. But what about if I'm preaching and living my life over here as a Christian? What's it smell like to an unbeliever? It smells like the scent of death, says Paul, when an unbeliever hears the gospel. How about your mouth? Is your mouth open? Are these guys praising God with their mouths? No. How about your mouth? By the Spirit that's within you, is now open. It's smiling even, and gives glory to God in heaven. How about your mind? Do you have a new mind as a Christian? Absolutely. As a Christian, we have been given, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says we have the mind of Christ. How about the mind over here? It's set on the flesh, so it's not alive. How about your hands? Are your hands new? Our hands reach out in kindness to the poor, like the Proverbs 31 woman. So you got hands that are actually alive now, and they're doing things that are pleasing to God. Over here, they have no hands because their hands are only fulfilling, really, their selfish desires. And even if they do something nice, it's not proceeding out of a heart of faith and love for God, but it's proceeding out of a heart of stone. So even then, even if it's a nice, good deed, it's not really pleasing in God's sight in an eternal way. How about feet? Let's just do one more here. Their feet are swift to shed blood, in their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they don't know, and there's no fear of God before their eyes. So an unbeliever stumbles because he's walking in darkness, because his eyes are closed, his ears are closed. He's going to stumble as he walks through life because he's not walking in the path of life, because you got to have ears and eyes for that. But over here, our feet, what does it say of our feet in the scriptures? It says how, yeah, exactly, who said that? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. They're kind of funny looking feet, I know, but think about that. Alive. So, you know, as we all have bodies just like unbelievers do. We look similar to them, do similar things, but when it comes to what's inside of us, there is a spirit inside of you that's made you alive. And you are living in God's sight. It's so beautiful. It's a totally different life. Now, Paul says, in Galatians, if we live by the Spirit, become alive by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if you're alive because of the Spirit in you, what are we supposed to do? Live it. Go with it. Act it out. Live and walk by the Spirit. Now, does that mean then that you have no more struggles? Because you're alive, you're not dead anymore. Does that mean you're having no struggles? What's the problem? Is that this is who we are in the inner man. The Bible says we have an inner man. And it's alive, it's fresh, it's green, it's growing. But what do we also have? Something is still lingering or remaining, tainting our flesh. It's called our body. It's our sinful flesh. Our old nature is still inside of us. So when I kind of try to make sense of this, I think of that movie. I've shared it with you a number of times. U-571. You know that one? Good old U-571, the movie of World War II. And there's a German Nazi U-boat that's been crippled by an American destroyer. And they send out a signal saying, come rescue us, to the German command. And they send out a rescue sub. But meanwhile, the Americans have picked up on the signal, and they want to go get this U-boat because they want to get the decoding machine for all of the Nazi messages that's on it. So they get out there dressed as Nazis, and they take over the Nazi U-boat before the other one arrives. And then there's this great battle where the Americans are on the old Nazi U-boat, and they battle the other Nazi U-boat and destroy it. The American boat also gets destroyed because the Nazis got there. But guess what? there's new commands on the old Nazi U-boat. It's the Americans are in charge of this old Nazi boat. And they now have got to get to shore. But when they come up to look for survivors after this great sub-battle, guess who they pull out of the sea? One survivor. Who is it? The captain of the old U-boat. And they bring him back aboard the U-boat, his old boat, but he's not in command anymore. Now it's the Americans who are in command, but he wants his old boat back. And the whole rest of the story, the Americans are trying to get to shore and to the Allies, but the old captain, who's in chains, but he's still trying to make trouble and get the Nazis on the surface to destroy his old boat because he wants to be in command again. The point of telling you this story is we have a new person inside of us, but we are on our body is sort of like the old Nazi U-boat. And guess who's still aboard? The old captain, right? Our old nature. It's still living inside of us, and it wants to get back in command. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? It means you now, you know, you used to be, let's put it even up here, all right? You used to be under Nazi command. But now, you are the land of the free, the home of the brave. Flies over the U-boats. The thing is that you've got to now subdue what's inside of you, the old nature. It's not in command anymore. Who's in command? The Allies, the people of the free, the land of the brave. I did that backwards. I'm dyslexic. It's okay. But anyway, we are to subdue it. What does Paul say here many times in Scripture? Well, let's look at Galatians 5, verse 16. Let's turn over there. Galatians 5, 16 says, walk by the Spirit. Don't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. In other words, is there going to be a battle inside of you as a Christian? You have a new nature. You're free. You're from the land of the free. You're from above, and yet there's somebody else inside of you, your old nature. It's going to be opposed to what you want to do. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he says, I want to do the right thing, but whenever I do, evil lies close at hand, and my body, my flesh tugs this way, but the Spirit leads me this way. Don't you feel that inside of you? You know, the Spirit is leading you one way, but the flesh wants to go the other way. What are you called to do as a Christian? Conquer it. You know, as it says in the movie, the new captain, the American captain, when the old U-boat captain tries to take over, he tells his crew, put that man in submission. Lock him up again. He keeps making trouble for us. We got to keep doing that as Christians. Look at what Peter says in his letter. He says, beloved, I beseech you as aliens and exiles, abstain from the passions of your flesh that wage war against your soul. So this clears up two misconceptions for us that a lot of people have in the churches. Number one misconception is this, that you can live as a carnal Christian. You ever hear that word? Where you can say, I'm saved, I've believed in Christ, and I'm going to heaven even though I live like the devil, and I continue to live just following in my own sinful passions. What is that? That is deception. That's not true. You can't just have the old U-boat captain and captaining his old boat and expect to go to heaven, right? The second misconception is that now I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be struggling anymore. Because after all, I'm free from the sin, I'm free from the flesh, so I should be just fine. Guess what? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that when you become a Christian, you're born again. You have a new spirit. You have a new commander. The Spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit, is in command. And you have a new nature that's in command. But what are you called to do? Put that man into submission. Don't let him make trouble. Don't let him destroy his own boat, old boat. And as long as we live in the flesh, we're going to have this guy with us. When we die, we get to be free from him. That's great. But until then, you're going to have to war with your own flesh, as I have to war with mine too. How then can we win? Well, let's take a look over here at Galatians 5, verse 24. What's Paul say? 5:24. He says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So raise your hand if you have passions and desires that are sinful and contrary to God. Sure you do, right? What are you supposed to do? Nail it to the cross. Crucify it. You know, put it under Jesus Christ. Lay siege to the castle. How do sieges work? Do you know how sieges work? You know, you have a castle and an enemy army wants to come take it over. What do? You cut off all ingoing and outgoing of there until they starve to death and they have to give up. Well, that's what you're still supposed to do with our, we're supposed to do with our old flesh, old nature, is to cut off feeding it. There was an old Indian one time who said, I have in me two dogs. One's the good dog, one's the bad evil dog. Well, which one wins, says the young Indian scout. He says, the one I feed more. Which one do you feed more? Your spirit and your new man? Or do you feed your old flesh? How can you feed your old flesh? Well, you're going on the internet, you're looking for the news, and all of a sudden a beautiful woman in a bikini pops up. What should you do? Turn the page. Right? Don't sit there and stare at it for a long time, because that's feeding the old man. But what do to feed the new man? Get in the Word. In prayer, be with Christians like this and just be led by the Spirit. All who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, and He's going to do marvelous things for you. He says also, you're to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Let's read that one in Romans chapter 8. Look over here. He says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, on the things of this world. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Do you set your mind on the things of the Spirit? To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So even while you're battling it out with your old nature, guess what? If you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you have life and you have peace flourishing inside of you. It's just absolutely beautiful. And he says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. It cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what are you supposed to do? Put your mind on the things of the Spirit. How about your eyes? Where are the eyes of your spirit and your inner man? David says in Psalm 16, I keep the Lord always before me. Because He's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Can you do that in your lives? Can you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and watching Him even if you work at Staples or work at church here, or go about your business? Well, I'm doing the business here, but I'm really keeping my spiritual eyes on Him. Remember Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament? The enemy armies were coming. He says to God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. You look at Moses. How did he leave Egypt? Not being afraid of the anger of Pharaoh. It says he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. Can you set your eyes of your heart on Jesus Christ even as you do the dishes? As you make your bed, as you go about your daily chores, God says, do these things. Set your mind on these things. We look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. And God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on Him, because we trust in Him. And the Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled face, are beholding the glory of the Lord, being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. So when you walk by the Spirit, when you live by the Spirit and you set your eyes and mind upon the Spirit, you go from strength to strength. It gets better and better, even though you're still going to be fighting your old flesh. And the best key of all, really, is to conquer in this way, Galatians 5:18, which is part of that same passage. Turning over here, Galatians 5:18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What's that mean? When you're living as a Christian, you're not under the old regime. Not under Hitler, you're not under his laws, you're not under his jurisdiction anymore. Even though the law of God is good, but we can't be saved by the law. If you try to get saved by the law, guess what? That's going to work in you all kinds of corruption, says Paul. But guess what? As a Christian, you're not under the devil anymore. You're under the land of the free, the home of the brave. I said that right that time. Ultimately, it's this flag, the Christian flag. Can you see yourselves that way? Sin doesn't have power over you anymore to make you do its commands, Paul says, because you're under grace. You're not under the law to get saved by it. You're under salvation. God has already saved you. You are free people. You are forgiven. You have eternal life. You have the help of his angels. He's put his own spirit in you. You are free, and you are free also to conquer, because the spirit in you is going to cause you to do so. That's a beautiful thing. And lastly, I'll just say this. Where does all this end for you and me? Well, in Galatians 5, once again, it says, here's the fruit that God, by his spirit, is going to work in your heart. Love, joy, peace. These are going to increase in you. Love, joy, peace, patience. Wouldn't you like some of that? Even for waiting for the end of the sermon, right? Patience. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these are wonderful things. They're going to increase in you as you walk. That's what the Spirit does in you. And the very end result, let's read this. I'm almost done here. Romans 8. The end result is this. Anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to him, but if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your old flesh is dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, in your hearts, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit, which dwells in you. You know, this is the hope in which we're saved. Guess what? Our bodies are getting older. They're wearing out. But God says if the Spirit of Christ is inside of your hearts, guess what? Even your bodies will be raised, just as your spirits are already raised. Your body is going to be raised and glorified at the resurrection. So, we're called to conquer. We're called to fight the good fight of the faith. And we know that when we finish the race and kept the faith, God's even got this for you. He's laid up for you the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to you on that day, coming soon. And not only to me, says Paul, but to all who have loved his appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.